is the last stand on earth.
Yes, this is the last stand on earth. Gary Freeman back in hour two with you here on KGAB, KGAB.com, fighting for truth, justice, and the American way every Saturday right here from 1 to 3 o'clock. We are here today on Constitutional Day, and before we went to that little interview break there with that man from Napa, Idaho, boy, isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible how people just flat out don't get it? How they will believe a lie and propagate a lie of separation of church and state because a man wanted to use the Bible as a history text when archaeology is not that the Bible needed proof from archaeology, but it has proved it time and time and time and time and again. We've been talking a little bit about the Constitution, about maybe why we're in the position that we are. I am not a constitutional expert, do not claim to be. I know some people that are pretty avid readers of the Constitution. We are abreast of it. But we're just sharing some things today that I think are very important and things that we need to think about as Americans. Did you know about the six principles, what's known as the six principles in the first 150 words of the Constitution? See, the whole thing is, now you're gonna get this on the back end. If we don't understand these principles in this document, then we'll miss the very spirit of what was intended by it, by the framers. All right? Some of these six principles. Number one, there is a creator. Okay? That's very important. I'll explain here in a little bit. Well, actually, the second one is going to prove that. The creator gives those rights, regardless of your color, regardless of your background, regardless of whether you live in America or not, these inalienable rights come from God for all people. So look, if you take away the creating part of it, if you don't believe in a creator, then therefore that creator, if you don't believe in him, doesn't give us those inalienable rights. Therefore, you're subject to the state and a monarchy, and state becomes God instead of the other way around. And that's where a lot of the ideologies have come in. John Dewey and some of these people that God knows why they were allowed to help craft our educational system as it is. But anyway, number three, very important. Government's purpose is to protect those rights that the Creator has given you. So government has a role, doesn't it? Government, according to the founders now, according to the framers, not the progressives and the liberals and the socialists that are running the country or behind the scenes today. Government's very first role, period, is to protect your rights that God has given you. They're not doing it. If you listen to Isaac Moffitt, you know they're not doing that. That is why government exists. It's not for handouts. It's not to raise debt ceilings. It's not for all this other garbage. This is why we have government, according to our founders. And this document, the Constitution, is to secure these rights for we the people. Another thing that they missed, there's a moral law. Bingo! A moral law. We the people get to decide based on the laws of nature and of nature's God. But see, when we have all this immorality going on and we divorce ourselves from that part of the Constitution, which is the very basic principles of it, then what is it? We've got a document that we can either pitch to the side or accept. You know, then the progressives could say, well, what Lord? Who's Lord? You know, Buddhist might have been a Lord, or Muhammad might have been my Lord, or what, you know, they try to confuse things purposely. But it's right there in the Constitution, the year of our Lord, so we know they've referenced to some degree, they've recognized the fact that there's a God. Why didn't they just say the year of our country or the year of the king or something else? So great point, Eric. Appreciate you calling. But getting back to these six principles in the first 150 words of the Constitution, there's another issue, which is the social impact. Okay? We the people, under the Constitution, as read, we get to decide how things will operate below the moral law. Now, there is a moral law, okay? God is a creator. The creator gives us those rights regardless. Government's purpose is to protect those rights. But we, the people, get to decide how things are going to operate below that moral law, okay? In other words, we don't get to decide whether you get right to life or not. We don't have that option under the Constitution. Why? Because God has already said life, all right? God is already pro-life. We don't get to decide in that under the Constitution. You say, well, they did under the Roe v. Wade. Right, but constitutionally they were not supposed to do that. There's no way that they can legislate to take a life from somebody else. I don't care how you spin it. I don't care what scientists they get on in white robes that are standing behind the president and clapping for him everything because they got paid X amount of money to stand there like a bunch of useful idiots. It doesn't matter. We don't have that right. Now, that's not an option. Why? Because God's already said we have that, and that's the end of it. We have life, all right? Eternal life is even offered to us if we want. But we can decide. What we can decide is if 80 miles per hour is going too fast. Why? Because that is not part of the moral law. All right? When it comes to murder, that is not for us to decide. Why? Because God, the Creator, said it was wrong and told us how to deal with it. You see the difference? So you see, when you divorce that moral law from the Constitution, it just becomes a secular document. It just becomes a piece of paper. And that is the attitude that we're seeing and have seen over many, many decades. It is incredible. Now, where it comes to the import or export of tea, per se, that's something we can decide on because God doesn't give us that instruction in the Word of God on whether we're going to allow the importation of an automobile or tea or a fabric or something like that. Okay, that's something for us to decide. After understanding the moral law that's outlined in the first 150 words of the Constitution, it only makes sense that everything else below that tells us how it'll all come together and how it's going to work. But if you don't get the first four of those principles in the Constitution, then you're never going to understand the rest of it. Nor are you going to govern properly the rest of the laws that you're trying to make for the Constitution either. And it's this kind of attitude that it's got us where we are today, and it's this kind of attitude that's even being taught to your children. Check it out.
Yes, it's a good mic. I mean, you could say two things about it. One is that it has no binding power on anything. And the two, the issue of the Constitution is not that people don't read the text and think they're following. The issue of the Constitution is that the text is confusing because it was written more than 100 years ago. And what people believe it says differs
more
from
than
person
that.
To person and differs depending on what they want to get done. So I wouldn't expect too much coming out of this.
And I don't expect a whole lot coming out of the progressives either. But anyway, you're listening to Across America. We'll pick this up when we come back right after this.
And never get love. You better let love depart.
And the time's 2:22 here on Across America. Hey, did you hear that story about what was going on over there in the UK? How they are punishing and reprimanding 4-year-olds? To 12-year-olds, if they say anything about homosexuality or anything racist, they are reprimanding them in school. Reprimanding them. Punishing them. Getting on them. Sending them home. Expelling or suspending or whatever. Incredible, isn't it? The only thing I can think of is they're making a big deal about it. Now, first of all, if a 4-year-old starts talking that way, where are they getting it from? The parent. Could this be a way to help educate them on tolerance? I'm not saying they should be talking racist in school, but any way that the progressives and liberals can get a foothold into your children, they're going to do it. Hi, you're on Across America with Gary Freeman. Welcome.
Hey, Gary, this is Frankie from Torrington.
Hey, Frankie, what's happening?
Not too much. I like your show. I talk to you once in a while.
Yeah.
I might have a hard time making my point, but let me give it a shot here.
Give it a shot here.
Okay, I need to give you a background on who I am and why I hear what I'm hearing.
Okay.
I'm a Messianic Jew, okay? And Messianic Jews believe in the Messiah, but we believe the Messiah told us to obey the Torah law. Okay.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to make a point, and then I'll explain what I hear from people, and then I'll make my point.
Okay.
I'm constantly approached by Christians, and they tell me, and you're a Christian, so I'll throw it out, they tell me that they're no longer following the Old Testament and that Jesus, we don't call him Jesus, we call him Yahushua, but that Jesus fulfilled the Ten Commandments and that they're not bound by the Ten Commandments anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That they're only bound by, and I disagree with that. I think that the Messiah did not abandon the Ten Commandments. But I don't want to get into a discussion on that right now.
He did not abandon them. He fulfilled them. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay, well, I don't believe that he even fulfilled them. I believe they still exist. But at any rate, now, we're saying that...
Let me back up. Let me correct myself. He satisfied the punishment under the law when he died and led a sinless life. And now he is, in the Christian realm, he is the one that we go to. He is the high priest. He is the go-between between man and God as far as salvation and all that goes. So I'm sorry, I had to correct myself. But go ahead. I'm not trying to teach you anything. I'm just sharing for the sake of the listening audience.
And for the sake of the conversation, I don't agree with that, but that's fine. That's two different beliefs.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Now what I'm hearing you say is that the Constitution is getting watered down and that we should be teaching people that they need to obey moral law. But if Christianity is the predominant religion of this country, which it is, and they're teaching that you don't necessarily have to obey the moral law anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a contradiction in what you guys see. I believe that my way is that we should have never abandoned a moral law, and I'm interpreting moral law as the Torah, and it's the Torah that says homosexuality is immoral. So if you abandon the Torah, then you no longer have the rule that homosexuality is immoral, which I still believe in. But
and the New Testament talks about that, too. You can go to Romans chapter 1, pretty well lines it out, definitely in the Old Testament as well. But go ahead.
Okay, but my point is only that aren't we kind of contradicting ourselves? See, I don't think I'm contradicting myself. Aren't you contradicting yourself? And I'm saying this with friendship. I mean, I'm not like...
Oh, no, I'm not taking it. I just want to get a handle on what you're saying so that I can...
But aren't you contradicting that if we should return to moral law with the Constitution, shouldn't all the religions be returning to moral law as well?
If they're going to live in this, if they're going to live in this country and live under the Constitution... And people are supposed to govern it, and really, this is a great phone call. You're kind of getting a little bit ahead of where I was going today, dealing with oaths and things of that nature. But no, I don't think it's contradictory, because moral law is all wrapped up inside of this Constitution. As a matter of fact, when you begin to look at Washington, Madison, Rufus King, who was one of the delegates from Massachusetts to the Continental Congress, basically they are the ones that made the statement that the Constitution is only going to work if you believe that there is a God who rewards you for telling the truth and for incorporating goodwill towards your neighbor, and that there's a living God that will punish you for the opposite. Okay? And I would say that today, Frankie, from Torrington, for many statesmen, the oath is nothing more than a tradition with no meaning. When you separate the moral law out of it, then what's taking an oath? What's putting your hand on the Torah? What's putting your hand on the Bible and making an oath? It's null and void. And Washington had even warned about that in his farewell address as well. So all it is a tradition now. And when you get men with conviction, like I believe our forefathers had, where they were God-conscious, okay, it doesn't mean they were Baptists and Methodists and this and that, although they could have been. It's the fact that they believed that there was a Creator and that our unalienable rights came from that Creator, and that government's role was to protect those rights as instituted by God, whoever the Creator is.
Now, see, I'm not disagreeing with you, Gary.
Okay.
What I'm disagreeing with is, I'm actually totally agreeing with what you're saying. What I'm agreeing with is the church. What I'm disagreeing with is the church. And I think the church...
What, the separation of church and state?
No. I'm disagreeing with what I hear coming out of the Christian church, and I think it's leading to... Here's the connection. That it's leading to the moral decay of the country as pertaining to following these laws.
Well, let me tell you this. As one man spoke about Germany, and I'm a preacher,
yeah.
I think the preachers hold a big responsibility in this country as to why there's a moral decline. And I'll probably get some heat from
that. Now you're right on the money.
There you go.
I agree with you.
Well, I'm not on the money. That's just a fact. Thanks, Frankie, for the phone call. And when we come back, we'll take some of your calls. We're going to wrap up this last half hour here on Constitutional Day. I saw that somebody called. If you want to call in, go ahead. The phone lines are open. We'll get back into our monologue here in just a little while. You're listening to KGAB, KGAB.com, Orchard Valley, Cheyenne, Wyoming. We'll be back right after this.
She knows a holler from a double up. She does snapbacks, backsides, shoots the curl. Bethany Hamilton knows everything about surfing. She just didn't know about the shark. But just months after the attack, and with only one arm, the 13th...
Oh yeah. That'll get you going on a Saturday afternoon. Welcome back to Across America. If you want to be on the program today, the number is 632-6500 or 632-3323. And for those of you that are listening to us on the World Wide Web or your iPod or your Android, you can go out to Radio Pup, for those of you that want to do so, radiopup.com, and you can download the free app, KGAB app, right there. Listen to us while you're at work, in the car, at play, or even in the bathtub. For those of you that still want Calgon to take you away, you can pick us up anywhere. If you're outside the coverage area today, 1-888-503-6500. And that was a great call by Frankie from Torrington, not to be mistaken with Frank from the South Side. Two separate entities. Actually, they're bipolar when you think about it. You know, Frankie is up north and Frank is down south. But anyway, that was a stupid joke. But anyhow, we talked a little bit about taking the oath. And, you know, taking the oath of office was never seen as a secular event by the forefathers. And it's sad today to see how these people, they put their hand on the Bible, and then we call talk shows up, and we say, hey, he put his hand on the Bible. Doesn't he know he took an oath to the Constitution? And blah, 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 blah. And I know they have. Just like many of you took an oath to protect and defend our country and the Constitution. And for those of you that have served in our armed services or even in the civilian corps, whatever, we thank you for your service and we thank you for your conviction to uphold the Constitution. And that's one of the purposes of Oath Keepers. If you've been out to oathkeepers.com, then you know what we're talking about. If you haven't, go out to oathkeepers.com and you'll see all kinds of cool stuff out there. But having said that, taking the oath of office was never seen as a secular event. That's why they would take the oath by placing their hand and swearing on the Bible, not the Quran, not the Book of Mormon, not the Book of Buddha or whatever, but the Bible, the highest authority instituted by God, Frankie, in the Christian religion. I understand with the Jewish religion, it's the Torah, okay? We're not going to argue over that. But they also refer to it as the Holy Evangelist of Almighty God. So either the Bible or the Holy Evangelist, whichever you want to call it. But the oath had meaning. That's the thing. It actually had a meaning. Come on, some of you folks that are in your 70s, 80s, and 90s, it's kind of like a handshake was all that you needed. A handshake is what sealed the deal, if you will. Why? Because the two men had conviction, and their word actually meant something. And so, unfortunately, nowadays, just sticking your hand on a Bible, I mean, I hate to have this attitude, but there's not a whole lot of hope with that. And a lot of that has to do, and Frankie was jumping a little bit ahead, which is fine, because he really opened the door for what we wanted to say. I made reference to the man, he was a preacher, I believe it was, in Germany, and said the reason for the fall of Germany was because so-called preachers had compromised what they knew was right. They had allowed politics into their pulpits. They had allowed politics into their churches. The Word of God was watered down. Instead of saying, this is what the Word of God says, they watered it down. Well, he really didn't mean that. They had the John Calvin, anything goes, once you're saved, you're always saved doctrine, eliminates. What it does is it eliminates that eternal consequence in people's lives, which allows men and women to follow their own thoughts and our ideals, which is far away from what the Almighty Creator established. And the Bible even says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. So what does that mean? Evidently, when we're born into this Adamic nature, when we're born in the secular and the natural, that means we don't have the mind of God. That means we are not in the way of God. We have to go to where He is. We have to have the mind of Christ. We have to get in the way and get in the will of God. Not the other way around. People get it all messed up. They try to bring God down to where their level is and justify it instead of saying, hey, we are an undone mankind and we need what God needs, and He's set the way, He's established the stakes, He's set up the old paths, and that's the way we need to walk therein. Article 2 of the Constitution, some of you may be familiar with it, the Sunday Acceptance Clause. Okay, we're going back again to that moral law, that conviction that the forefathers had that plays a pivotal part in the Constitution. You can't separate the two. Sundays used to be a big deal. Remember? Remember? How many people used to see going to church when you were a kid, and they'd wear their Sunday best, not like one of the churches here in town where you wear holy jeans and tank tops and pierce your... Where is the reverence for God in this country? What happened to the reverence for God? Would I go to an interview for a job like that? I mean, come on. They just have this lackadaisical attitude about God, and we wonder why our country is in the position that it's in. We have thumbed our nose at God for so long and kicked Him out of every institution. And then we have a president or somebody get up there and say, God bless America. Yeah, right. We've bound His hands. We've kicked Him out of everything. To the place to where now the moral law of the Constitution doesn't mean anything anymore. That's the reason why when you see these interviews on YouTube and you get these emails of House, you know, the House Representative so-and-so or a senator laughing and scoffing at the Constitution. Because one, it probably convicts their life and it's not convenient, and therefore they write laws based on what they think instead of what the ultimate law is, both morally and secular. Hi, you're on Across America with Gary Freeman. Welcome.
Well, amen, Brother Freeman.
Hey, Frank from the South Side. Boy, I'm blessed today.
Hey, I heard Alan Keyes on shortwave the other night. He was on Rick Wiles' program, True News.
Wow.
And it was an hour, not interrupted by any commercials, interview with Alan Keyes. And when you think that, you know, we don't have anybody with any moral fabric or any religious foundations around, listen to Alan Keyes. He was so moving. I wish I could paraphrase him more accurately than this, but he said, you talk about a political revolution, but we can't have just a political revolution. We need a spiritual and moral one.
Amen.
We have to stop accepting that which is evil, abortion, homosexuality, you know, on and on. Like, we have to stand up against this as individuals, you know, and the churches do too. And, you know, some of them have just forgotten about that. And, you know, he's just an inspiring guy.
He is. He is truly, and I'm not just saying this rhetorically, Frank, he truly is a great American at heart. And there are a lot of people like them. I'm just saying as a whole, you know, the way things have gone. I mean, I'm not saying there aren't pockets or aren't guys like you, myself, and others that have these ideologies. We have these convictions. But the problem is that Washington evidently is such a machine and so far out there that people, good people, allow themselves to be sucked in the vortex, and they have all these excuses why they do it, and they just become a part of the problem. And as far as the spiritual revolution, all right, Frank, it's more than some charismatic dude up on a stage kicking his leg and shouting hallelujah and making a big show out of everything.
Yeah.
We need a real move of God. Have you ever heard about the Welch Revival? There's a book out called When God Stepped Out of Heaven, and it was documented by the press, even, in Wales back in, I think it was the early 1900s.
Oh, really? No.
And I mean, it was a revival, and it started by a couple of women that were having prayer meetings in a barn. And it didn't happen overnight. I mean, they were praying and praying and seeking God and going, and pretty soon this preacher that was supposed to preach somewhere else. I think Brown was his last name. I can't recall it. But he got the call. He canceled his other appointment. He went to Wales, and he preached this revival, and God used him. And, I mean, there was a real revival that swept through that land, Frank. It closed the bar rooms down. People were under the conviction hand of God. Not a man, but the convicting power of God. People were saved. They were clean. I mean, it revolutionized that part of Wales. And I'm telling you, that's the kind of revival we need. We don't need some show up there, somebody knocking somebody in the head and saying, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." Yeah. Do I doubt the power of God, Frank? Absolutely not. But I do doubt the showmanship of men. What say you?
Hank Williams Jr. had a good song some years back. I can't remember the title of it, but it was a parody on the preachers, you know, the TV preachers. You say, "Send your money to Jesus, but you give me your return address."
Oh, yeah, there you go. There you go.
All righty, Brother Freeman, you carry on.
Hey, thanks, Frank, for the phone call. Man, that's awesome. I get a call from Frank from Torrington and Frank on the south side, and I hope Barney Frank doesn't call. Of course, that's a last name. That's not a first name. But we're going to wrap it up here in just a little bit with your phone calls, and we'll be heading to the top of the hour here when we come back right after this. And we're wrapping up this last portion here of Across America. It's been really good having you along today. And I want to thank our special guest, Isaac Moffitt. Just punch him in out there on Google and you can find out more about his story. And speaking of schools, a lot of people are kind of disgruntled about what's going on in the local school system here. But, you know, we're equipped with the knowledge on how to deal with it, then maybe we can make some things happen. We were talking about how secular our society has become because, you know, especially in the school system or amongst the elitists, the Ezra Kleins and people of like-minded like him. Basically, they think the Constitution and Bill of Rights are secular documents. But as we've seen and as we've studied today and as we've heard on now, we know that's not true. It's not true at all. But we don't teach this to our students in the public school and haven't for decades. Or we might touch on it. Or we might have gotten some classes on it. Matter of fact, they don't even teach constitutional law anyway, anymore anyhow. They, for the most part, unless you're going to Hillsdale or something like that, they're talking about case law. Well, if case law is all jacked up and that's what we're learning by, it's no wonder. It's kind of like cancer. You know, you can have a cancerous cell or a cancerous piece inside of your body and get rid of it, and it's done. But when you have bone marrow cancer, in other words, that means those red and white blood cells are coming out into your body, cancerous cells. They're being manufactured with the cancer already in them. And so this is what we're seeing in our colleges. Instead of taking constitutional law and defining them accordingly, they're getting a rehash of a rehash of a rehash. And we see what's going on around us. But when you take the meat and potatoes out of the Constitution and redefine its origins, then it becomes of no effect. And the framers knew this, and they warned against it. The classrooms, I don't know about privately. Privately, they may be a little bit more on deck. But public classrooms for decades, what have they been teaching in our schools? Does anybody know? They've been teaching deconstructionism, to where they only point out the bad and the flaws in our great country, both past and present. The deconstructionism has been going on in our classrooms, and they have ceased to teach American exceptionalism. And that's why many of our youth today don't even know what American exceptionalism is. The current president of the United States constantly, talks about how dreary our country is and how the way our economy is the new normal. Now, for some of you that were young adults, middle-aged adults, older adults, during the Carter years, help educate me. Okay? Haven't we heard this lie before? And yes, it is a lie, and I'm going to prove why it's a lie here in just a moment. Didn't we hear another president in our lifetime state the same lies? Jimmy Carter, Remember how he talked about we got to wear sweaters and all of our, you know, our economy's just trashed and blah, 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 and this is the way that it is. This is the new norm. But then something happened. Ronald Wilson Reagan came to power. He promoted American exceptionalism. He got a lot of government out of the way, and you thrived. Remember that? We became that shining light on a hill. You became optimistic. Some of you started businesses. Some of you felt like you could put money away and that it could make more money for yourselves. But not now. We cannot believe and cave into this lie that's coming out of Washington and coming out of our public schools. Parents, we hear it all the time. We've got to be engaged. We must not settle for what America seems to be now. This is the vision of the left. It is the vision of the progressives, and it's what they have wanted you to think, what they've taught me to think, and frankly, we are not going to bow down. I'm going to get to this call here in just a moment. What do they want us focusing on in the public school? They want us focusing on how all founding fathers were deists, agnostics, and atheists. Why? Because we learned about Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin. They also want your children to focus on that all founding fathers owned slaves because Thomas Jefferson owned them. They don't tell you that only 30% approximately of white people were the ones that were prejudiced. They don't tell you about the 70% that were abolitionists and anti-slavery men. People like John Brown, who was a what would now be called a right-wing radical. And the black people of that day, they called him the White Moses. He got with Frederick Douglass and said, we're done with this slavery. We are going to take the U.S. Armory and break in, and we're going to fight this dude. And Fred Douglass said, you know what? That's why I put the brakes on. I'm not breaking into no U.S. Armory, dude. Well, John Brown, who was a white guy, and many like him, and many of that mindset, but not so much like him, broke into the U.S. Army. Well, he ended up getting hanged or put to death. But see, we don't learn about guys like him. Hey, if we're going to teach history, let's teach history on an even plane. Don't take out all the bad and focus on that and let kids go into college or go into life thinking that America is just a dumping pot and we have something to be ashamed of. Barack Hussein Obama, you are a liar. And if you're ashamed of America, then get out of this country. They want you to focus on the 5% of the founders that were not religious, not the 95% of the founders that were. And here's a big one, Wyoming. They want you to focus on how we violated all Indian treaties. That's not true. They don't want to teach the fact that for the first 200 years, we didn't take land from the Native Americans unless we had their signature, we paid money, and they thought we were stupid because they didn't own it in the first place. They set the price of the land, and those men paid for it. We don't get that in the public school either. Listen, America, we can be exceptional again. You can be exceptional in your businesses. You can be exceptional in your job. You can be exceptional in your private life, and you can teach that to your kids. And if you're a school teacher, bunk the system. Teach American exceptionalism. Hi, you're on Across America with Gary Freeman.
Hey, Gary. Those that know not and know not that they know not are ignorant. Teach them. Those that know and know that they know are wise. Follow them. And those that know not and know that they know not are fools. Shun them.
Mm-hmm.
We're listening to you. You know, I always said, teach, don't preach. And that's what's going on.
Am I getting too preachy?
No, I think you're just trying to provoke us to, we need, you're passionate, and, you know, you've got us rereading, you know, I'm rereading, the real George Washington, you know, the real Thomas Jefferson.
Good.
They're fascinating people.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I have discussions now, and I try not to argue, I'm confrontational.
Right.
And I'm trying not to be.
Right.
It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. But, you know, Dave had a wonderful gal on the other day that, I wish that he would, they would, record that.
And, he probably has recorded
the video,
it.
sell the CDs because she was fascinating. She was not government funded. She did her own research on what's going on in the schools, and it is truly an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it started before I was a kid, but I saw it when mm-hmm. I was in school. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's an uphill battle now. The boat's over the falls, and we have a grappling hook on it trying to pull it back up, and it's a tough job.
It is a tough job, but we can pull it back over that crest. I firmly believe it, because as you're reading in your history, you'll find out those wars that were fought, those revolutionary wars, lives were lost, blood was shed. Hey, it's going to cost something. I'm not saying that we need to take up our arms and start killing everybody. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it wasn't easy for them. And it's not going to be easy for us. It's a lot easier. It is a lot easier to get into debt than get out of debt. And it was a lot easier to allow these things to go to bring America to where she is today on life support than it is to revive her. But if there's a 5% chance, she can be revived if people have a mindset to do it.
Well, Abraham Lincoln said, and I'll paraphrase, if you want to ruin a man, the man being the head of the family and responsible for the decision, if you want to ruin a man, don't sell him drugs or alcohol or get him involved with women. Get him in debt.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's your biggest enemy.
The Babylonians used to use that ploy in the old days. They used to go in and sell baubles and trinkets to people that couldn't afford them, and they said, don't worry about it. We'll give you credit.
Mm-hmm.
And when they demoralized them, then they sent their armies in. After they were in debt for several years, they were demoralized.
Mm-hmm.
They sent their armies in, and they were easily conquered. Anyway, thanks for being there. We're with you.
Hey, thank you for calling today, and thanks for listening. And you keep reading, keep teaching, keep telling people about the real America, not what they want us to believe. Hi, you're on Across America with Gary Freeman. You've got about a minute.
Hello, Gary. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm enjoying listening to the program. I just wanted to point out that, you know, November 4th, 1820, Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to Reverend Jared Sparks, where he stated that that the religion Christianity had been corrupted, and he believed that there was going to be a restoration to the pure doctrine of Christ after his death. Anyway,
I think in a lot of ways he's right. I think in a lot of ways it has been corrupted. It has been dumbed down. It has been watered down. You know, it used to be in this town, in this country, that if you didn't like, unless it was maybe Catholic or some other kind of religion that had been around for years and years and years and years and years, if you didn't like one preacher, you go to the other church and he'd be preaching the same thing. It's a smorgasbord nowadays. Whatever fits my life, brother, that's what I want. So he did have some truth there. But anyways, I got to let you go. Hey, it's been great being with you today. Not being negative, it's positive today. Sometimes a little stirring isn't a bad thing, but hey, keep your chins up. We are exceptional. And together, we will take this country back and make it what I believe God wants it to be and what we want to be, but it's going to take you and I to get there. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy your Constitutional Day. Don't forget to head on out there to the Greek Festival today, and we'll meet you back here. Same bat time, same bat channel, 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon right here on KGAB or KGAB.com. So long for now.
Cheyenne's number one news talk radio, KGAB.com and AM 650, KGAB, Orchard Valley, Cheyenne.